Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 507 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. Soft July, 495, up 3 3/4. July corn, 358 and a half, down 3/4. September, 364 and a quarter, down 1. December, 374, down 1. July soybeans are 974, up 5. September, 942, up a quarter. November, 939 and 3/4, unchanged. July soybean meal, 324.10, up 40. July soybean oil, 32.53, down 32. June live cattle, 150.60, down 135. August feeders, 223.05, down 167 and a half. July lean hog, 77.80. They are down 20 cents.
WILL is many things to many people, but it remains the one place where our different interests and views can be united through a mutual appreciation for the world around us. That's the idea behind our Stronger Together Now campaign as we work to raise an additional $200,000 to meet our fundraising goal by June 30th. Less than 2 weeks remain in our fiscal year. I hope you'll make a gift today. Call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. And thanks.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Soybeans this week have staged a pretty remarkable rally, much of it on short covering. No matter how you cut it, though, if you look on the weekly chart, you have a weekly key reversal higher in the making. What do you make of this?
Well, I think we still have today and tomorrow to go, but the way the soybean price action looks on the chart, like we have maybe scored some major lows in the soybean complex. I've got a 38 to 40 week cycle that I kind of watch, and it's in the time window for that cycle to make a slow and to make an upturn and basically generate a summer rally in here.
Could the market be signaling technically that when we come to the end of the month, the fundamentals aren't there for a bearish push?
Well, the June report's going to be a little tricky because it may not have current data as far as how many acres of soybeans are going to be planted. They will be working with somewhat of an intentions number. But, you know, as of Monday, we had upwards of, you know, I guess between 8 and 10 million acres of soybeans yet to be planted. Whether or not they go ahead and get planted or some of those goes into prevent plant, we'll have to see on that. But I think, you know, that large of acreage that has not been planted by June 15th, 16th, 17th, now we're beginning to talk about double crop yield potential for those full season beans. And then I think with the heavy rains that we've had throughout the growing region, I think we've already shaved the top end of the bean yields. And I think the balance sheets are going to look a whole lot different. But it may take until August before we actually see a very snug balance sheet. The June report's going to be a little tricky and how USDA plays that. But the August crop report now is definitely going to be the big, big report because of all of the flooding and the acreage losses that we're experiencing due to this round of wetness that we had here during the month of June.
And so with all that you have said, would you not be surprised then to see that the ending stocks for U.S. soybeans for new crop is less than 200 million bushels?
Well, I don't know if we'll go down. I mean, the current year, I think USDA still has some room to come down on the current year. Export sales are still well above USDA's number they're using. They haven't fully adjusted for the March 31st number. So there's room for the old crop soybean number to come down, depending upon what the June 1 stocks number releases. As far as new crop goes, like I said, that's going to depend upon what USDA puts as a planted acre. And then, of course, July, the World Board will peg some kind of yield on there, and they may take into consideration crop rating levels. But to get something down below 200 for the 15-16 year, you're going to have to wait till August or September to see something like that, because you're going to have a yield down into the low 40s, and then you're going to have a big chop in the overall acreage levels to get that. But currently, you know, USDA is using about a 400 plus a million bushel carryout. Some people have been talking maybe a carryout as large as 600. I think those numbers are kind of have evaporated based upon the current weather conditions. But around a good round of warm and dry weather can change crop prospects pretty quickly.
Let's turn our attention then to corn. Has it also carved out what you would call a major low?
It's definitely in the makings. We'll see how we finish out the week. Timing-wise, again, I had we're in the time window here for a 40 to 45-week cycle to turn up and generate a summer rally. I think what we're seeing in the charts, it is telling me that that cycle is turning up, but I don't have any major confirmation. I think the confirmations will come if we can get through that June report without any major damaging information. We end up posting monthly reversals to the upside in both corn and soybeans. I think then that would solidify those lows that we posted last fall as major long-term cycle lows, and the overall trend of this market is to move higher as we go on into 2016.
With May the wettest month on record and June follow-up rains significant and actually continuing this week on the remnants of Bill, do we begin to talk about the idea that the corn crop is getting significantly smaller on the production side?
Well, the bear is not going to want to hear that, but I think if you look at past historical wet Junes, that basically has had a lot of nitrogen leaching, and you basically lose a lot of yield potential. And I know the bear crowd still wants to use the yield up in that 168 or 169 because, you know, that's what we did last year. But if you bring that yield down into the low 160s, you've got an altogether different balance sheet on your hands, and the corn prices are not going to stay at these levels for very long.
So technically on the charts, what are some of the key upside targets that you would begin to look at to confirm what we've been talking about?
Well, the first one is a pop out, the previous reaction high on beast corn, which is like 386. And then you have one at 388 and three quarters that was done in early May. If December corn pops those highs out, I think that would be as strong a technical signal as you can get. That the overall underlying supply-demand tables have really shifted to the bull side of the equation. So that's something that I would be looking at. When you take a look at soybeans, November soybeans have already punched out its previous reaction high point, and actually November soybeans now are trading the second day above the 50-day moving average. Been a long time since we've been above that 50-day moving average. You take a look at your July soybean lead futures contract. We're actually toying with trading or closing above the 100-day moving average. That hasn't been seen since last. We're going to basically talk about last February.
Okay.
So the overall trend shift in beans is a little more solid on the charts and probably a trend shift on the corn at this point.
Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time.